Predator season recap show, ESPN 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Pete Weber, Hal Gill here with you tonight as we're going to look back on this season and, of course, talk to the Predators general manager David Poile, as well as head coach John Hines. And they had their end of season press conferences today. But first, Pete, Hal, how are we doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm staying up very, very late. And I'm wondering, you know, what happens? Are there any goaltenders in that Edmonton-Calgary series?
It's crazy. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
Not since the 80s for me, I got to tell you.
It is unreal. But, yeah, I'm still recovering from the Preds being out, but I'm doing okay. I appreciate your concern, thoughts and prayers. I'm doing okay.
We are concerned, and look, I think a lot of people are recovering, including our first guest of the evening. I think we have the connection working, but let's say hello to Predators general manager David Poile, who is on the line with us. David, good evening. How you doing?
I am doing good, guys. Good to talk to everybody.
Yeah, listen, you know, questions this afternoon wasn't enough for you, so we figured we'd ask you a few more.
Comes with the territory. I totally understand. I'm glad you're interested. That's the most important thing.
Exactly. And that's where I want to start, because you've been through every postseason press conference the Nashville Predators have ever had. And as you and Pete and Hal and myself all know, there's only one team that's going to enjoy that every year, and that's whoever wins the Stanley Cup. But I thought today was very honest, and you were very honest, and you used the phrase that every team is constantly having to rebuild. From watching the league change 25 years ago when the Predators first started to seeing it now, how hard is it to keep up with that and how things are constantly changing and you do have to rebuild, so to speak, year after year?
Well, I did say that at the press conference, and I mean it, because, you know, we talked last year, and I kind of coined the phrase of competitive rebuild, and that kind of, I don't think people either quite accepted it or understood it. But, you know, the prime example is Tampa Bay's won the Cup the last 2 years, and even last year when they won the Cup, they have six new players. So, you know, from that standpoint, you're always looking to make your team better, or guys are leaving. We're in a salary cap age right now where, you know, for some teams, it's hard to keep their team together. And there's a variety of reasons of why you're always on the rebuild. And as you said on the opening, I mean, at the end of the year, there's only one team that's really happy because they've won that last game of the season. For all others, we fell short. And, you know, I was really happy with a lot of things this year. I thought we made good progress, but I want to make sure that all our fans know this. By no means are we satisfied. It's just a start going in the right direction.
David, from your preseason expectations, were they essentially met?
Yeah, actually, I would say yes, Pete, because, you know, I hope people don't think we set the bar too low when I say our goal was to make the playoffs. I say that coming off a year where we did make the playoffs, but there was a lot of question marks. I mean, from off ice, our coaching staff, and you know, where they stood more long term with the club, there was a fair amount of criticism that our best players were not our best players, and I don't think there was a great belief in our team or our plan, and that got to sort of double down, if you will, with trading of Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson, very good and very popular players. And we also lost Cali Yarncroft in the expansion draft. So there was a lot of things that took place both on and off the ice last year that probably, with all, you know, fairness to everybody, that, you know, was probably a lot of question marks for fans and management alike. But for me, our coaches did a fantastic job. I mean, their work during their summer or training camp or their individual meetings with players, starting with our best players. And what did we get from our best players? We got the transition from Pekka Rinne to Saros. Saros is one of the three finalists for the best goalie in the league, the Vezina Award. From our captain and best player, Roman Josi is probably going to win the Norris Trophy for the best defenseman in the league. For our top forwards, we got Matt Duchene and Well, Forsberg scoring over 40 goals for the first time in franchise history for anybody scoring 40 goals. We got younger players like Trennan and Tanner Janot that really had their best years, and Tanner Janot got his name mentioned in the Calder for the best rookie in the league and scored 24 goals. So, yes, there was a lot of good thing, and the culmination of that team-wise is that we made the playoffs. But as we saw against Colorado, that we were outmatched, and we have a long ways to go. So happy that we made progress, but certainly not satisfied.
David, when you look at a rebuild or a transition, however you want to phrase it, you're looking at young guys, and I was real impressed with the young guys, certainly Tanner Janot, Yakov Trennan, you know, Tomasino seems like he's coming around, Fabro, Carrier, there's a lot of young talent on the team. And I look at it as that's the first year quite some time where you've had an 82-game season. So what do you think of their progress, and what would you tell those guys going forward? And are you happy with what they've done, and, you know, basically in their first year, full year in the NHL?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the most part, most of our players lived up to our expectations. A lot of guys had career years. You know, for these younger guys, I believe we led the NHL in rookies in terms of goals and points. So that's certainly a barometer to be judged in a positive way. But having said that, what happened in the last two seasons because of COVID, we've had partial seasons of, 50, 56 games. And this was the first time in 3 years that anybody, and for some of these kids, have never played 82 games in a season. And it showed up at the most crucial time in the last 20 games of the season. You could make a case that our goals against, goaltending a little bit maybe wasn't as strong as it was for the first three quarters of the year. The goal scoring certainly was kept up by Duchesne and Forsberg, but we kind of went dry with our secondary scoring. And I think a lot of players had a tougher time at the end of the season. So that's youth to a certain extent. That's the consistency that you need for the full 82-game schedule. And then we got to the playoffs. You know, we were, as I said earlier, we were a little bit overmatched. But all in all, I think the potential is there now. I can clearly probably repeat what you said, Hal, in terms of the names. I think Tanner Janot has got a huge future in terms of being a power forward that certainly can move up in the lineup. I think Phil Tomasino got 30 points on probably out of 12 forwards, maybe the 10th or 11th amount of ice. I mean, you know, again, I think a year wiser, bigger, stronger, that type of thing. I think he can move up in the lineup. I certainly would forecast him to be a top two line player for us in the not too distant future. And you know, Trennan's a young player, and some other guys, like a player like Tolvanen, you know, probably didn't have the season that either we or he was looking for. But I think as a young player, and you know, having a good off season, getting a little bit more confidence and consistency, if you will, there are reasons why this team could certainly get better. And in addition to that, I mean, we have some shortcomings and we have some holes in our lineup, and we'll have some changes. And you know, obviously, what we were able to accomplish in the off season by free agency, by trades, is going to make a big difference in terms of how far we can get in this game plan to move up to be a contender for the Stanley Cup.
We're talking to Predators general manager David Poile. He's on the line with us here on the Recap Show. And you know, every week in talking to us on Darren Donick and Chase, I was always the one that would ask you about Philip Forsberg. But I want to talk about some of the other free agents that you have on your club. Nick Cousins and Matt Benning, Ben Harper. You've got some restricted guys in Cunnan, Trennan, Luff, Lauzon. Obviously, Forsberg is the focus, and you have to get that taken care of. But what do you think from some of those other players? You know, could we see some of them back, or do you feel like that you might be looking at new blood somewhere?
We're going to make some changes. Again, we're still fresh off of the end of the season, and we've done the player interviews. I've met with the coaches. I think we got a basis of our thought process, but I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a break here, say, you know, next week, and let everybody digest and think about the season and the players and all of our discussions. Then we'll get back at it with our scouts. We had a pro meeting today. We're going to have one next week. We're getting ready for the draft. So there's a lot of things up in there. But to specifically answer your questions, not everybody will be back, and we will be making some changes. Whether we can do that from within or a promotion from within, that would be my first choice. But whether we make a trade or for sure whether we get into some kind of a free agency. So all those things are on the table, and all those things are going to be necessary if we're going to get better. But we certainly can't stay with the same lineup, in my opinion, if we're really trying to get better.
David, how much were things hampered? I mean, a lot of things were hampered by COVID, to be frank, but how that disrupted player development at the lower levels. I mean, minor pro, as you go to junior hockey and so on, guys just could not get in full seasons at an age where they could really have used that.
No, that's a terrific point. And, you know, obviously not just affecting us, but everybody else. You were in a situation where you couldn't travel as much, so you couldn't integrate, for example, your development people with your younger players, whether it be in junior or college or specifically, again, in Milwaukee. So there was a lot of things that were set back. As I mentioned earlier, the number of games that we played in the last couple of seasons was like 30 games less than you usually play. So, this is the closest we got to being normal. But even in this season, you know, games were canceled at the beginning or rescheduled, and the schedule got very hard for us and everybody else near the end of the season. We had that Olympic break that was going to happen, and the Olympics was called off. So we ended up filling in a couple of games, but we played like 7 or 8 games in February. We traditionally play 13 or 14 games. So it wasn't quite normal, but we're getting there. And if I had my wishes, I'm sure I speak for everybody, is that let's get the schedule back to normal. And I just think that everybody will get into that routine where we can play the 82 games on a more consistent basis.
David, I feel like, you know, from my time here in Nashville and watching what the organization and the fan base has gone through, of course, everyone is upset. You're upset. The team is upset. No one wants to lose in the first round. But going through what everyone knew was a rebuild and a competitive transition, and now you have the fan base is so upset. Do you see the change? This is a hockey town. I feel like a hockey market, a big hockey market, they get upset when you lose. There's no excuses, right? And you just can't have a good team that's competitive. This town wants to win. Have you seen that change, or is that just a disappointment of losing?
No, I think, again, that's the good and the bad news that comes with, I guess, my job, John Hines' job, is that it's the both the good and the bad. I would say, and I've mentioned this when we sort of went to one-on-one interviews with a few of the press people who were asking, you know, questions about the, the state of our, franchise or, our fans or what have you. And I said, I think our fans are great. I think, all due honesty, that we have to own up to the fact that, in the playoffs in the Colorado games, we didn't give them a lot to cheer about. But, and again, like 10 years ago, maybe 2 days after the hockey season, we would be irrelevant. And I think it's really good that people care this much about the game, whether it be, the media people on the radio or print, and fans are offering up their opinion. I mean, that's the sign that we people care about the Predators and want them to do the best they can. So it's kind of taking the good good with the bad. But all in all, I feel good about the team, happy and proud of what we accomplished and the progress we made in a season that really, as a lot of people thought, really could have gone a different way. And but again, for the second time, I'm by no means am I saying that we're satisfied, and I know we still have a long way to go. And that was pointed out and stayed by how good Colorado was against us, and it wasn't close. So all the players know that in individual meetings, and then a meeting that I had with the team at the end of the season, they know where we stand. They know what the expectations are. I think the players have a good belief in what they did accomplish this year and what potential that we what we have. And as John said, that he's kind of using the phrase that he needs everybody to be, not reinvent themselves, to be a ton better, but got to find a way to be 1 or 2% better.
Well, David, again, we appreciate your time tonight. And, you know, for us here at the game, you coming on with Darren and Willie and myself every week, whether it's good or bad or somewhere in between, it's always appreciated. And listen, I'll call you in a couple of weeks just to ask you about Philip Forsberg, just to keep up with it. So, you know, I don't want you, to.
I would be so happy if we could sign Philip. I think you all know that. And I think what I should do is, as soon as I get that done, I might tell the owner, but I think you should be the next call, Chase. So maybe you should. Why don't you help me a little bit? Why don't you call Philip and see if you can get this off the line?
I'll get on it. I'll get on it right now. Be like, Phil, you love Nashville. Come on. You got to stay here. So, but in all seriousness, thank you again. And we'll do it again soon.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a good off season. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. You too.
Absolutely. David Poile, Predators general manager, joining us here on the recap show. And yes, it became a running joke that I Darren and Willie would basically set me up to ask every week. So
it's time for the Forsberg question. Here's
Go ahead, rookie. Go ahead and ask the question. Everyone wants to ask you. It's your job.
Yeah. We'll have John Hines at the bottom of the hour, but we'll come back and talk about some of the things that you just heard from the general manager and also the press conference earlier today. As you listen to the Predators season recap show on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.